This morning is to talk a bit about Parshat Zachor, which is approaching any minute. And it's a once in a year occurrence. And so I think aside from just reading the Parsha, it's worth thinking about what spiritual experience we're meant to have when we think about the ideas of Parshat Zachor. So I started off here with an idea from the Maharal generally. About the Parba Parshios. You look here at source number one. I didn't have the whole thing. It's a bit verbose. And it's even Hasidish as the Maharal goes, which is saying a lot. Very esoteric. But I think it's still worth even just thinking about what he's getting at here. So the Maharal has this, is coming off of this notion, the Medrash quotes, of the Shkalim, as we spoke about last week, the coins that Bnei Yisrael donate toward the base of Mikdash, as a sort of response to the shkalim, the coins that Haman HaRasha vows to give to Ahasuerus in return for condemning the Jews to death. Right, he says, I forget how much, he says, Shekel Kesef Eshkol Ayadei Ginzei HaMelech. Right, that, you know, take care of the Jews and you'll see, I'll give you some shkalim. It sounds like he's bribing Ahasuerus. And so therefore, the Maharal says, that's why we read Parsha Shkalim at the beginning of Adar, to sort of combat this attempt by Haman to buy the Jewish people from Ahasuerus. The response to that is that we give Shkalim to Hashem. Give Shkalim to the base of Mikdash, showing the fact that, no, we can't be bought out by Haman. We're connected to God. God is our owner. And therefore, he says as follows, Achar Parsha Shkalim, after Parsha Shkalim, Shisrael Nesunim El Hashem Yisbarach Lagamre, that we're completely given over to God, that by donating these coins to the base of Mikdash, it represents a donation of ourselves toward Hashem. V'hem re'uyim l'saleh koach ha'malik, she wrote to the kalotam begufam. And that's, once we do that, we can combat the koach of Amalek, the power of Amalek, who wanted to destroy us physically, that Maharal writes that there's a certain, and we'll get to this in just a bit, that Amalek is just the first anti-Semitic nation. They were, for whatever reason, they had this almost pure hatred for the Jewish people, and they wanted to kill us. That's what they wanted. They attacked us completely unprovoked to kill us. And so when they want to destroy our bodies, so we're able to combat that by giving these shkalim and sort of giving ourselves over to God. By Adeshi Yisbar Mesale Gankin Ruach HaTumah, when Hashem removes spiritually this spirit of impurity, Asheru Chotes Ben Yisrael Ben Avim Shebashamayim Mitzan HaNefesh, that separates between Israel and their Father in Heaven in terms of the soul. And that is through the Parah Adumah. That's where Parsha Parah is. Parah Adumah is about removing the status of impurity due to death, Tumas Meis. And that removes a spiritual barrier between Klai Yisrael and Hashem. V'kasher elu shneim mitzulakim min ha'olam. But when both of these separations, both of these obstacles, both the physical obstacle of Amalek and the spiritual one of the Parah Adumah are removed, azitin Hashem yisbarach ha'Yisrael le'chadash re'chadash. Then Hashem will give us, or He does give us, a new heart and a new spirit. That I will throw upon you holy water, and I will purify you from all of your impurities, from all of your, disgustingness, as it were, the gulechem. I will purify you. And then, after that purification process, and then v'nasati lachem lev chadash, and then I will give you a new heart, v'ruach chodasha, and a new spirit, etein bekir bechem, I'll put in your midst. Sort of this newness, this new purity that we achieve through removing these obstacles, and hence, v'nei kach achar kach hu parshas achodesh. And therefore, afterward, we read parshas achodesh, l'avi karbanos min ha'tshumah ha'chadasha. To it, right? So essentially, it's this long process. If you think about it, shkalim is the idea that we have to collect money in order to then give the karbanos during Nisan, right? Nisan is karban season. We bring the karban Pesach. That's a karban incumbent upon everyone. And that's why we collect the shkalim. So in a practical sense, the notion, these four parshios are sort of this process. And the first one is a preparation for the last one. And on a spiritual level, the Maharal is saying that Parshas Shkalim is a preparation for the new Taharas HaNefesh, the new Hischachos, the renewal of Parshas HaChodesh. That by bringing these karbanos from the new donation, Zehu Akiro V'Hachibor El Hashem Yisbarach Mechadash, it represents a new closeness and connection to God. V'Akifar Nasnu Hashkalim Hashem Asbarach, even though we already gave them. And we already gave the coins. And because the coins represent this fact that we are connected to God and we are able to remove, based on that, the power of Malik, but when we actually use those coins, that connotes a new connection. After having removed the power of Malik and the power of impurity, very, very deep matters. So I'm sure there's layers of meaning here that I don't quite understand, but I think it's an interesting sort of purification process that the Maharal sees in these four parshios. Okay, moving on to the actual content of Parsha Zakar. Let's take a look at source number two. So it's worth noting, this is again Parshas Kisetse, not in Parshas B'Shalach, which you read a few weeks ago, where the Torah discusses Bnei Yisrael actually encountering Amalek for the first time, but rather this is in Parshas Kisetse, where Moshe Rabbeinu is recounting all the mitzvos, and he remembers what happened to Amalek, and he tells us to remember too. So it's worth noting the context here. So the Torah begins with a pretty innocuous requirement, a pretty innocuous mitzvah, which is having equal weights. And it says as follows. It says, "Lo yebecha bevecha eifa ve'eifa gelag tana." You shouldn't have an eifa measurement that is big or small. You have to have, if it weighs an eifa, it should be an eifa. Evem shlema v'tzedek yelach. You should have complete and correct stones. Eifa shlema v'tzedek yelach. L'man yarichu yamim al adama asher Hashem lokecha noten lach. So that your days on the ground, on this world that Hashem gave to you, should be lengthened. Because Hashem hates all those who do this, meaning have dishonest, inaccurate weights, all who perform iniquity. And then the Torah continues to Zachor. Zachor et asher asal lacha Amalek, baderech betzeitachem min Mitzrayim. Remember that which Amalek did to you on the road as you left Egypt. Asher karcha baderech, that they karchad you baderech, that's a loaded phrase. We'll get to the three explanations in Rashi. Vayizanev v'cha akal nechashalim acharecha. Again, probably translated, they tailed all those who trailed after you. Va'ata yefageh, you were tired and weary. V'lo yare alokim, and he did not fear God. We'll get to v'haya baniach Hashem lokech lacham mekal evecha misaviv. When Hashem leaves you or allows you to rest from all of your enemies surrounding you, in the land that Hashem gives to you as an inheritance, you shall wipe out the memory of Amalek from under the sky. Okay. A few different things to note here. That's an understatement. There are many things that are very striking about the way this is asked. So number one, why this just juxtaposition between weights and Amalek is something that's certainly interesting. In terms of the parsha itself, the simple question to ask is, it's very interesting that we have to specifically remember Amalek. There's a separate commandment to remember something about Amalek. Right, it's not just that we have to fight Amalek, but we have to remember what they did to us. And one question is why that is. Karucha baderech is a bit unclear, as is this notion of vayizaneh b'chal kol nechashalim acharecha. They did something to all those who trailed you. And one more thing I'll note, v'atzah v'lo yareh Elokim, he or they did not fear God. Who does that refer to? Who didn't fear God? Not 100% clear. Was it the Jews who didn't fear God, or was it Amalek who didn't fear God? So let's look at a few different ideas here. Rashi here comments and gives three different interpretations of the word karcha. And Rashi as follows. Karcha number one, Lashon Mikra. It is a notion of happenstance. It just sort of happened. It happened upon you on the way. Davar Acher, Lashon Keri Vitzuma, Shayam Mitaman B'Mishkav Zachor. It means a certain impurity, Keri, that they made you impure through homosexuality. That's the second approach here. All of these are very interesting to note that this is how Chazal are painting a Malik. And the third one is that they made you cold. And he gives that they cooled you down from your boiling state. So you call Umos Lachim. All the nations were afraid to fight you. This one began. And showed the way for others. Mashalam Bati Ratachas, famous parable here. It's akin to a boiling tub. No one can go inside, it's so hot. Bam bin Belial Achad, one crazy person goes in, kafach, jumps in, you're alatocha. Ava pisha nidva, so the person gets singed and they get burned, right? Amalek gets defeated by Klai Yisrael. But they say, okay, so apparently you can attack these Jewish people. Despite the fact that God performed all these miracles, you can attack them. So three notions of Karcha. One is the notion of Mikra, of happenstance, and of course, you know, every year we hear about all the different drashot, all the different ideas about how Amalek represents this notion of things not being a result of divine providence, of it doesn't matter what, you think that God was controlling things when he took Klai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and he performed 10 makos, and he split the sea, all that, no big deal, come on, that's not a big deal, we can still attack Klai Yisrael. And then the notion of tumah, which connotes a certain impurity. And I'll get to that in just a bit. There's interesting medrash about that. And then this notion of making Klai Yisrael susceptible. So the Ramban in source number 4 has just a very, very well-known Ramban. An interesting notion. He's trying to figure out what exactly we're supposed to do in remembering Amalek. What does that entail from us? Who says in source number 4, Kfar Hiskarti HaMedrash Shadur Shubba B'Sifra. I already mentioned the medrash. So the Medrash says that the word zachor could have meant simply a sort of intellectual requirement to remember, that Hashem wants us to intellectually recall what happened. But it also says lo tishkach, which means don't forget. Don't forgetting is already includes this notion of not forgetting, remembering the information. Hamani makayim zachor. What then does Zachor represent? You have to say it. You have to verbally mention, remember Amalek, right? That's the notion of Zachor. So the Ramban struggles to figure out what does this mean? Mechim Misifri, Zachor Eis Asher Asalacha Amalek Bepeh, Lo Tishkap Belei. V'lo Yadati Mahaskir Ezo Bepeh. I don't know what this is referring to. In what sense do you remember this notion with your mouth? And here he has this throwaway line, which is really remarkable. Im lomar parsha Amalek b'tzibor, does it mean reading the parsha of Amalek in shul? And this is sort of the approach that parsha Zachor is actually a mitzvah d'oraisa, incumbent upon every, at least on Klal Yisrael, to hear the Torah being read in shul about their story. And then he throws in v'nimtzel amidim in haTorah b'shnia Zachor, and this would be a biblical commandment to read Zachor, it would also be a support, a biblical support for reading Mikra Megillah. That somehow Zachor teaches you from the Torah to read the Megillah. Probably because of this notion of Amalek and Haman. But fine. Then he says, Hanochum be'inai shehu lomar, shelo tishkach masha asalanu Amalek, ad shenimcha et shemo mitachas hashemayim. That what I think is the right is that this is generally a requirement to not forget what Amalek did, such that we continue remembering them until we wipe them out. And Nisaper Lazelavaninu will tell the story, literally just telling the story, almost like the Pesach Seder. Tell the story to our children, Lorotin and all generations. Lomar lahem shakach asalanu harasha, this is what the wicked person did. Ulakach nitzavim lamachor eshemo, this is why we wipe them out. I see, and this is almost like a certain acknowledgement that the children might ask, wait, why are we hating Amalek so much? This seems cruel. Why are we fighting them? And we're remembering, no, because this is what they did to us. But Rabban talks about this notion of mentioning it. I think it's still interesting. What exactly are we supposed to remember? And what exactly are we mentioning? Is the point geared toward wiping them out? That's one approach. One approach is to suggest the reason we remember Amalek is to sort of continue to harbor this, you could say, hatred. It's actually Lashon Chinuch, La'or Evato, to awaken, inspire this enmity toward Amalek such that we don't just settle with the fact that they continue to exist as they do, that we want to keep fighting them. So the Barbanel has a really interesting approach to this. And he says as follows. First he says that what's this notion of Korcha? He quotes Rashi, as we said. And then he quotes the Ralbag. Look at Derech HaBeis. Yom HaShamalik Balishlo Shlav Lavoz Baz Kim Mahashad Es Yisrael Ba'atzem. They weren't, the point is, they weren't coming. It's all to for any purpose. There is not that Amalek wanted to steal our spoils. It's not that we threatened them. They just wanted to destroy us. That was what their intention was. Zacharias Asher HaSachamalik Ratz Lomar Shemasha Asa Lo Asa Lomim Nechenda. It wasn't because they were jealous. Lom Nechavo B'Tiferes Nisacho, not to prove themselves a prominent nation. Kiim lecha, it was just what they did to you. Kedei lahashidcha, to destroy you. Vikaracha badar befeta pitom, and it was all of a sudden. It was an ambush. Karcha meaning in terms of a sudden attack. Kodam shetelchitzu kleim lechama. Biosa bilti muchal nimale miyado lo b'varaska. It was just a surprise. Kayisa bilti meluma melchama. You weren't ready for war. Vegam besibas derech v'yefagea, and you were on the way. And you hadn't feared God yet. You, the Kali Israel, didn't have Ashkacha from God. Because you had just tested God. As I'll mention just a few minutes, they had just complained about the water and feed him and said, Ayesh Hashem bekarbeinu mayim. So that's what it's that they attacked you to annihilate you. For no reason other than to kill you when you were vulnerable and taken by surprise and susceptible to their attack. That's the Rabbah. And he says, I want to explain something else here. And he says, I'm not going to read the whole thing, it's very long, but he says is that maybe the point of this is as follows. Don't think that God, this is God's business. And that, don't say, look, it's a milchama l'Hashem ba'amalek. It's okay, Hashem takes care of Amalek. It's, as he said, so we don't have to do anything. You know, and let him take care of it. Let him take care of wiping out Amalek. So therefore Hashem says, no. Remember what they did to you. This specifically concerns Luka Israel. And he notes four different things that Amalek did which are particularly evil. Number one, they fought you without any reason, as we suggested. And number two, he says that they did it before, without any warning, without sort of like, you know, the way of war, it broke the rules of the war, without sort of saying we're going to attack you, they just ambush you. And number three, they didn't fight you face to face, they did it from behind, it was nechash alim acharecha, they got those who were trailing from behind. And number four, lo yirei Elokim, meaning they didn't care about any sort of, you know, considerations of morality here. No, they just fought you. They weren't worried about God. And the point is that, and take a look at the end here. He says something really interesting. Just take a look at the last four lines. V'ani ashov sheramaz b'zeh Moshe Rabbeinu v'shalom inyan amalek lizman ha'galos. Zachor lo tishkach specifically refers to when we're in exile. Kinei b'yosin v'aretz amar zachor. When we're in Eretz Yisrael and we have power, Hashem says, remember, when you're no longer in Eretz Yisrael, right? When you're under the heavens, everywhere, spread out and scattered from one end of the sky to the other. But God is in exile. Then you're not going to be able to remember Amalek and to wipe out their name. Even if you can't fight Amalek, practically, at least don't forget. Don't forget about this notion. Okay. So this notion until now essentially focuses on remembering Amalek as a means of fighting them, right? Like keeping up that sort of opposition, the feelings of bitterness toward Amalek, which would then inspire us to attack them. And the Netziv has a really interesting idea here where he notes what was something we pointed out before, which was the juxtaposition between remembering Amalek and Midos and having accurate weights. And I just think it's interesting, and I think it lends to a different perspective on this altogether. So take a look at the Netziv in source number 7. Zachor eit asher asalach Amalek, smach inyan la'kodem, pirish Rashi, api midrash, im shacharta b'midos, if you lie regarding weights, havidoi migirei ayev, worry about the enemy. Mikein nireh sha'amalek baba avo mishkalo, v'hu pela, that Amalek specifically comes because of the sin of having inaccurate weights. That's great, and that's very interesting. Doesn't make any sense. They weren't weighing anything in the Midbar. They weren't weighing anything in the desert. So what's going on? Chazal exaggerate almost, hyperbolize the sin of inaccurate weights. It says it's even more strict than gilui arayos, than you know, sexual immorality, which is very strict. V'su, ma ze dimyo mishkalos gilui arayos, which amr zeh chomor mizeh. How do you compare a parable? And he says, nir kila apish amr chazal gimel veres chamuros, v'chomor begimel elu eino tali be'onesh, shari onesh chilo shabbos chomor me onesh arayos, ela ba'asher sha'adam choti balato begimel ve'efanem. Why do we have the three cardinal sins? Why these three? Is it because they're the most strict? He says, no. A person sins because of three things. Omeheder ha'amuna, a lack of belief, v'Hashem v'toraso, that we don't believe that the Torah is real or that there's any real punishment to it. Omitzad eskabrus ha'taiva, or because of a certain strong temptation to sin. Omitzad hiskabrus ha'kas ukadoma b'mido shenoge b'nam l'chavero, or because of a strong anger regarding interpersonal relationships. You really get angry and you strike someone. Hini arosh beheder emuna hu avodah zara, v'arosh betayva hu begilei arayos, v'arosh b'minos rosh hu shvichas damim, right? That avodah zara is a lack of emuna, that's one cause of sin, and that the rosh betayva, that the definition of giving into temptation is gilei arayos, and the definition, the epitome of giving into anger, bad midos, would be killing someone, right? That's the worst example of not being nice to other people is when you just kill them. That's pretty extreme. He says, the worst is avodah zara. Ba'ashen ogele munas v'gam rachog munas shuva. V'cho ba'ayeh lo yishuvan. Umeyata, hagone mechaver kli akar. A person that steals from his friend, a nice vessel. Yachol liyo sheba mitzad atay v'lo oso kli. A person might have a taiva for a kli, right? Oh, I want that. And then they steal. Somebody who just does sheker, it's not midarach taiva, right? What? You're going to, if you really want someone's thing, you're not going to be like, okay, you know what I'm going to do? Awesome idea. I'm going to get them. You know what I'm going to do? I am going to make sure that my weight of pounds is not actually a pound. Or is not actually, it's going to be 0.9. That's going to get him. Yeah. No, that doesn't, like, what's the tie to do that? It's just, but what would make you do it? Chisarum be'emuna. Ba'ashem hazan mefarnes ba'ashkach ha'pratis. It's because you think you can't make it. You can't make it if you are honest. So you're dishonest. I have to find a way to leg up. I'm going to cheat just a little bit. Just a little bit. Every single time I sell somebody a pound of something, it won't be a pound. And then I'll make a little bit more money. It's because you think, okay, so I need to figure out a way, take a leg up. It's not going to be enough to act honestly. Even though, in a certain sense, it's not as bad. It's not as bad as Vodazara, but in a sense, it's worse than Gilarayos because it's this lack of emuna. It's not taiva. It's a lack of emuna. And he says, "Ba'asher chisaron emuna kashal tshuva." It's hard to return from a lack of emuna. The gamo gelik vodei svar hashemo. That we're attacked after we question this notion of whether God is within us. And he asks, how can we possibly question that after everything we experience, after leaving Mitzrayim, after everything, after the Ten Makos, after Kriyas Yamsuf, and we still were wondering because we didn't have water. And that's just, how could that even happen? And so that's where Amalek comes in. On this note, there's another way to look at the story of Amalek, and that's as follows. Look at Pirkei Rabbi Ezra, really a mind-blowing explanation, that Zachor isn't about remembering Amalek specifically and what they did and making us angry at them. But Zachor is really about remembering what we did. What we did to become susceptible, to allow Amalek to attack us. Why that happened. And Reb Pinchas says, Acher Arbaim Shana, Ratza Moshe Lahaskin Yisrael of Omlem Zachor Matem Shamartim and Mimbar Azah Yesh Hashem Bekarbenim Amayin. He wanted to remind Klal Yisrael, do you remember? After everything that God did for you, you still asked, is Hashem in our midst or is he not? Ela Amar Moshe, Imani Omer Lahem Kach, Hariani Megalas Paneim. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to look at Klal Yisrael straight in the face and say, you guys are a bunch of sinners. Remember when you forgot? You forgot God after everything? Vagan Pel Mechavero Inu Chilik Olam Abba. They'll remember. I'll remember. Remember what Amalek did to you. And they're supposed to remember not just that Amalek attacked us, but specifically that we lacked this emuna, that we questioned whether God was in our midst, even after everything he had did. And remember that when we do that, that's when the bad things happen. So it's not just about Amalek. And I'll leave you with the Kedushas Levi, which is the typical Hasidic way of looking at something like this, but I think it's still very relevant. He says, "Nira dihine lo zu belvad zera Yisrael he mitzuvim amchias amalek du zera esav." But the whole ish Yisrael, every single person, every Jewish person, tzarich limchos chelek ra, has to wipe out the evil part of themselves, hamachuna b'shem amalek, that is called amalek asher tamun belibo, hidden in his heart. To chol zman dezera amalek nimsa ba'olam, az kevan de'adam gankin u'olam katan, az yesh metzios la'amalek v'koach hara. Since a person's a small world, so as long as amalek's in the world, then their amalek is going to be in the world of every person. B'chol adam asher mis'ora b'chol pa'am ahachti yesa adam. It's there to get us to sin, to get us to question. Azeb ba zechiros b'torah. And that's what we have to remember. And he goes, so what we have to do is wipe out the chilek ra within us. That's the notion of Moshe Rabbeinu raising his hand in tefillah to overcome this power of Amalek. And we weren't Yarei Elokim. It's our Yirah Shemayim that we need to work on when remembering Amalek. And so as we remember Amalek, as we approach Parsha Zachor, to not just, and it's important, to remember the anti-Semitism, the just baseless hatred that Amalek had for us to kill us just without any recognition that God had just taken care of us, denying that Hashem has a special relationship with us and that he watches over us, and without any aim other than to kill the Jewish people. And it's this notion of being against the very notion of a holy nation. No, there can't be a holy nation. There is no such thing as holiness. There is no such thing as God taking care of a nation or divine providence. No, we're going to kill that. But it's also this notion, remember, it's internal, reflecting on what we didn't do right, and what we have to remove from within our souls, the chelek of Amalek. So as we do that, we should be zochet to the Maharal promises that if we can remove the Amalek and remove the Tuma, we can be zochet to a lei chadash and a ruach chadash, a new spirit and a new heart, a new connection to God. And I hope that you have a wonderful Shabbos and a wonderful Parshas Zachor, and we get to wipe out Amalek both within ourselves and within the world. Thank you very much for joining me. Shkaya. What is that?
The question, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, according to the Hasidic approaches, I guess, Maharal and Kedushas Levi there, are they only commenting on the Zachor part as opposed to the Timcha or the Lotishkach?
I think Kedushas Levi is on the whole thing, for sure. I think Kedushas Levi on the whole thing. I think the Maharal there is focusing on just the notion of Dal Parshios, right? The notion of why we have these four in this order. And he's trying to explain the spiritual process that we go through. So for the Maharal, I think it's about the I think it's as a whole, but I think he's focusing on Zachor. But I think you're right. It's a good point. I think the Maharal is focusing on Zachor. I think Kedushas Levi is focusing on just generally the notion of wiping out a Malik. And the Zachor, let me emphasize this, Zachor is how we can do it internally. Zachor relates to remembering Zchiros Befeh, but also davening to Hashem. It refers to strengthening our belief and Yirat Elokim, our fear and awe of God. That's what we're supposed to be remembering when we do Zachor, and if we can do that, then that's what wipes out the Amalek inside of us. So I think he is referring to both. But the Maharal specifically is referring to the process of the four Parshios. And I think it's important to note that I don't think he's denying, they're not denying a simple explanation, but that all of these things also have an underlying spiritual process that we're meant to go through, and that when we go through the holidays or the four Parshios or any like cyclical Jewish timeline events, it's not just something that we just do and get over with, but there's a spiritual experience that we're supposed to try to have. And he's describing that spiritual experience of achieving this Ruach Hadash and Lev Hadash with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
He's not rejecting the idea that we do have to physically remove
Amalek. I don't think so. I don't think he's rejecting it. He says it can't only be that, right? That's his Lashon. I know sometimes it would make us more comfortable, but he says, it's not only that we're commanded to wipe out Amalek, Ella, but also the whole issue of tzarich limchos chelak ra machuna b'shem Amalek. I think the point is that every single physical, this is the chassidish approach. But I think it's a certain spiritual approach that every physical kamalech isn't just a nation that attacks us. It represents a spiritual force in the world. The four kingdoms, Edom, Paras, Yavan, Mitzrayim, all of those. Don't just, or Bavel, not Mitzrayim, but Mitzrayim is before the former. But all four of those don't just represent nations that, you know, have subjugated us in the past, but they represent a certain spiritual force that we need to overcome in perfecting our spiritual personas. And we can defeat Amalek by overcoming that spiritual force, right? That's the Maharal saying. If we can we connect to God and we give our shkalim and we show that we're so connected that Amalek can't attack us, then it will follow that we can physically defeat Amalek as well. But it's, you know, everything that happens in this world has a certain spiritual underpinning to it. So I see it at least. A lot to consider, but thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Absolutely.
All right, have a great Shabbos.
Shabbos.